You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you, so visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
As the seasons change, so do our selections. The seasonal selections from King's Coast Coffee Company are custom roast sourced and selected to pair with the changing of the seasons. We take the time to source and pair up coffees that reflect the current season and are roasted to highlight tasting notes that pair with the season on hand. Here for a while, then making way into the next, this is a great roast to try on its own or make any coffee subscriber happy. Welcome in, guys, to episode 21 of Coffee and Shell. I am your host, No Sleeves, joined by my good friend, Kesso, as we are every single week. And just like we do in every episode, you guys seem to enjoy it, which is good because that means we don't have to talk about HUD as much as we normally do.
Let's discuss the
big and interesting life of Kesso and what you've been up to, my
friend. Dude, I haven't been doing anything, man. It was a relaxing weekend. My wife and I went out to dinner Friday night. I think it was Friday night. Watch some Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on the couch downstairs. It's a great show on Amazon Prime. I love the show. I don't know if anybody listens or anybody watches it. And then Sunday, so we're recording Monday night. Usually we record on Sundays. I went over to my grandparents' house. Their attic still has just like a bunch of shit in it. Mm-hmm. So I had to go up there. It's one of those ones where you like pull the staircase down and you got to like climb up. So taking boxes down from the attic and... this one box, I tweeted this one picture. It was like a bunch of stuff I had from like first through third grade, you know, schoolwork. But then there's like doodles and stuff. And like, I just apparently those 3 years, I only drew like Pokemon and hockey players. And like the one, it was kind of funny. It was this picture. I went to a Catholic school and it was a picture of Jesus. And it says like Happy Easter. And yeah, they're like write a name of somebody you wanted to say Happy Easter to. And I put Mario Lemieux and I knew how to spell his name, you know, hats off to me. But, it was just like, yeah, it was fun. I grabbed a beer, went through like every page in there, you know, looking through like old stuff. And it was kind of fun, you know, very laid back, you know, Sunday night doing that.
Bro, prehistoric HUD cards.
Yeah.
Dude, wait, is that our first Kesso NFT?
That might be, dude. Let's go.
You gotta mint that, bro.
Dude, we gotta mint that. Are there any whales in the community to buy this off of me for like 10 grand? And I can just, you know, make some
it
money.
It appreciates immediately.
Exactly, for 50. Dude, and then I saw that there was people getting fished on one of the big NFT websites, that OpenSea. Did you see that?
Yeah.
People lost like millions in NFTs.
Dude, I'm sure there's a lot of... Crypto, I can understand, especially with what's going on in Canada. NFTs, I feel like we are... You know how, like, Sega Dreamcast came out, like, when you were a kid?
Yeah, yeah.
And you probably knew maybe one person that had it?
Uh-huh.
because it was way too ahead of its time, and developers literally couldn't make things that weren't $400 for it. Because dude, do you realize there was like an online card game that you could play in 1999 on that?
Dude, it was the first console to have online. Yeah, I think it had its own like interface too for it.
Oh yeah, and it was just so ahead of its time that consumers weren't ready. I feel like that's what NFTs are. Like,
yeah,
we're just like 8 or 9 years, like way too early. And I'm sure that like there's people in here that are people that listen that are like big in NFTs, and that's cool. And some point it'll work. But anytime I see like a thing of like the metaverse, that just looks like a really, really bad video game. So I don't understand it yet. But hey, that's just me. Maybe it's because I'm old. Like
I see that stuff and I see like really bad drawings. Like I get the tech behind it's probably great.
Yeah.
But it's just like a picture of like a dog with like a whistle or something, you know? And it's like, you show other people that buy NFTs, I guess. I have no idea.
Yeah, like you go to a party of people that just have a lot of NFTs and they're like, look at this thing. They're like, ooh, wow, impressive.
I don't think those people are going to any parties, but yeah. I mean, those people probably are way richer than I am, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if they can afford this stuff, they gotta be.
So I was thinking, before we were getting into like the HUT stuff, I was stressed out yesterday after playing HUT Champs. and you saw why. I mean, you watched some of it. Sometimes it's just like you play too much. Mm-hmm. So what do you do, Sleeves, if you need to decompress, get away from Twitter, get away from all that stuff, you're just frustrated? How do you relax at night? How do you make yourself feel better?
Well, like therapy.
Is there any like specific like hobby you have, like a random thing?
I'll be honest with you. I'll pull back the curtain here, I guess, for all my viewers. I actually struggled a lot with this, like in like November, December, where like I legit went to a therapist because like I wasn't sad, like I wasn't down and depressed or anything, but like it just like I wasn't enjoying anything. Which sounds weird because I play video games for a living. So I went to a therapist and I explained to her what I did. And she's a little old. Like, she was older, so I figured it was going to be tough to explain what I do. But she was pretty understanding of it. And she was like, what do you do for fun? And I, like, looked at her and kind of laughed. I'm like, well, I play video games. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, I literally all I do is play video games now. And she's like, yeah, that's work. And then I'm like, well, yeah, but, like, I'm just playing video games. She's like, yeah, what do you do for fun? And I'm like, wow. Like, dude, like, I sat there and, like, stared at her for, like, 6 minutes. I was like, I don't know. And I think this comes as, like, streamers. Like, people that aren't streamers might, like, because even you've grown enough where this is, like, a very small business, right? Yeah. But it is essentially still a business for you. Like, when you're recording stuff in the back of your mind, you're like, this could be a YouTube video, right?
Oh, yeah, that's happened so much. Let me ask you this. Yeah.
How much NHL do you play off stream?
Isn't
you in the lab.
That isn't me in the lab, not that much. And sometimes that consists of, like, if my wife wants to play, like, The Sims. She loves The Sims. So if she's on my desktop or whatever, I'll play, like, a few Rivals games. And then, you know, I'll play a couple games here and there. I think we did the calculation or something the other day. And, like, I stream for 8 hours. I play those 8 hours a week, the Champs games, and then probably, like, a few offline. So probably, okay. Like, 11 to 12.
Okay. All right.
And that's a lot, I think, don't you?
Like 11, 12 games off stream?
Oh, 11 to 12 hours a week. Sorry.
Oh, no. I'm saying, like, how much do you play NHL off stream? Like, do you think?
Oh, like just off stream? Yeah. A few hours a week, I would say.
Okay. Well, that's still impressive. Yeah. I have zero. So, like, okay. You know what I mean? So, like, which leads to me not playing a lot of NHL. If you watch my streams, like, I stream 3 hours a day and I maybe play 4 games. But yeah, I think that as a streamer, like, when you create a hobby and turn it into a business, that's like the hard part. So I was really struggling with that because I was literally ending my stream, going upstairs, I'd eat dinner, and then I'd be like, all right, I got to record a YouTube video for the content that came out. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to clip a couple pack openings, turn them into TikToks. And then I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to bed and starting it all over again. I just wasn't having any fun. So, like, I think that's a big focus. Like, I mean, what I try and do now is, man, I just, like, lie on the couch. Like, it's nothing. You know what I mean? It sucks because I need to find a new hobby. Like, that's what it ultimately comes down to is when you turn video games into work, that is essentially work. So you need to find a new hobby. And I think that's, like, a big struggle. Like, what do you do?
Watch TV shows with the wife, right? That's always a good one. Sometimes I just take, like, 5 minutes and, like, sit down with the dog or the pig. And I'm just like, that's my decompression right there. Today it was actually nice outside for the first time forever. We took the dog for a walk. And then I enjoy playing Stardew Valley with my wife too. Like, we have this farm on Stardew Valley. We were like 3 or 4 years into the game, and it's just the most like easiest going thing ever.
I was waiting. I was so disappointed because me and my wife, we don't really have anything that we do together, like a video game or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, we have summer and we hang out and we watch like the same stuff, right? But we don't have a ton in common, which might sound weird for people that are married. But like, man, honestly, people that don't have a lot in common, I think, are sometimes can help. But anyways, I was waiting for the new Harry Potter game to come out. The new RPG, like...
Oh, yeah, that looks cool.
Dude, she is obsessed with Harry Potter. Like, she has tattoos. She watches... She falls asleep watching one of the movies every night. Like, she just went to Harry Potter World with her mom. Like, her office, she has 4 giant flags, like the house flags. And I was like, okay, this will be sweet. And then it kept getting pushed back. So I'm excited for that because that, I think, will be, like a game that I won't stream. Maybe, I don't know.
No, dude, because then if you stream it, you're like... Listen, chat, this is the best way to unlock all the spells in the game.
Yeah,
and you're going to do one of those videos.
Yeah, anything under 5'11 wizardry is absolutely a waste of time. If you're not 6'2 with a flying horse, you're not, like, it's just not going to work, guys. No.
Look at this guy. He got the Nimbus 3000. How much money did he spend day one? Oh, my God. Yeah. But that's the problem. We've talked about it before. We don't play video games anymore for pure enjoyment. Like, luckily, I have a couple I play with Marina where I play for, like, just enjoyment. But I don't play games by myself ever where it's like, this is fun. It's always Halo. Like, oh, what can I do with this?
I talked about this a lot on stream, but, like, the addiction in games. I think I mentioned it on here, too. And just, like, how, like, we just have an addiction because it's, like, I think it's because of all of the ability to compare yourself to people with the internet. That when you're looking at a game, you immediately, like, so people that, like, want to get better at HUT, they Google, like, how to get better at HUT. Maybe they see my or your videos, and, like, we have an influence on that. And that's what, but the thought process that starts is because gaming is so competitive now that, like, why is it immediately, like, how do you get the best team? And not just, like, hey, I just want to play the game to have fun, right? And, you know, like, that makes it awfully tough. And I started playing Halo, like Halo Infinite, when it came out at the beginning of December, and I was playing like every night. And again, this is after, like, you know, the person I went and talked to was like, "You need to find something fun, no work." Because even when I was playing Halo in the beginning, I was like streaming it or I was recording it in case some crazy clip happened. She's like, "No, no recording, just enjoy it, like it's your time." And I would play with Cookie, Top Shelf Cookie, Nasher, and some other guys in the community every single night, and it was actually a blast. And then we got to, like, high diamond tier, and it's like Onyx is right there. And then I'm looking, and I'm like, man, how do I get into Onyx? Like, I ordered an Xbox Series 2 Elite controller. Like, it was just like, and then it became frustrating if I lost, and the fun slowly died away. And it's like, I don't know. So yesterday, this weekend, something's going on with me. I do not feel well at all. Like, I'm tired all the time. As we speak, I'm exhausted. I get a lot of sleep. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to the gym, and maybe that's leading to it. I'm eating like crap because I just don't care, and I'm exhausted at all times of the day. Even when I went to Florida, when I was doing the event, I had a lot of adrenaline right before the event started, which I think you should. Anyone that, you know, is in the middle of production of a big broadcast, and I was nervous, but I was tired, so it was like something's not right. And so I literally didn't leave bed. Like I streamed for 2 hours and I just stayed in bed the whole day, the whole weekend essentially. But I was laying there. I'm like, I just want to play like an offline game. And then I was like thinking, I'm like, I can't just start a game and not be able to pour 40 hours into it. I looked at like Horizon, like the new Horizon, because I'd beaten Zero Dawn, but I don't remember the story at all. It was a while ago. And the new Horizon came out and it looks truly like a next gen game. It looks incredible. And I'm like, man, but if I don't have 80 hours to, like, do everything, what's the point? And then I just binge-watched, like, a season of, like, Ozark. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, like, and I essentially accomplished nothing because I don't remember any of it. So, like, I don't know, man. It's just, it's tough. It's not the same anymore. Because I remember, like, beating a game, like, you know, it's, like, 20 hours and it'd be fun. It's, like, an offline game. Like, Dying Light looks fun. I remember the first Dying Light. It looks fun, but, like... Yeah, it's just, I don't know what it is. It's not the same anymore. Everything has to have a purpose, and that's exhausting, you know?
Yeah, we've trained ourselves with that, too. And then I feel like, too, at this point in my life, there's not enough time for, like, everything I want to do. So
and
it's
I'm
like,
sure there is if you
but if it's like
it
I'm going to have the free time, I want to put my free time to advancing if it's this thing or whatever else. It's like, there's just not enough time in the day, you know,
being an adult. I just got a terrifying text message. My wife took a picture of my dog at the bottom of my landing. She's scared of the stairs, so that's not good, because that means we don't have a gate there because she's terrified of the three steps that go down to our back door.
Yeah.
She took a little wander downstairs, which means she's got the stones to go downstairs.
Do you need to go?
No,
is this one of those? Okay, I'm making sure.
She's way too scared to go down the next eight to go into the basement. Oh my god! But it just means that she's getting the. But now I'm gonna find her like on my new couch or something soon, so I'm gonna have to get a new gate, I think. Uh-oh. Yeah. Anyways, the dog is fun. We took the dog for a walk today, dude. Like snowstorm, and then it's like 15 degrees outside, which is like.
Right now it is.
Yeah, like it's hot outside.
Oh, dude, it was 60 degrees here.
I think 60
Guys. Yeah, do you guys have Fahrenheit? Is that Fahrenheit?
No, you're the only. Celsius? I think you're the only country that does that. Just
America, number one, baby. You know, we got the inches, we got whatever.
Yeah,
because like we run the world.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah, guys, let us know topics of like random stuff you want to know. The wind down thing, I think like that was cool. I would like to know more of that. I'd love to talk more about that stuff. Yeah. We booked a trip, so I don't like traveling all that much. For like, I get anxiety because I can't work. Which is just like an entrepreneurial thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, you know, as I should just want to like relax, because all I do is play video games. Like, why do I need to relax? I have a hard time being like, I can't stream or upload videos for a week, even though I can, because Tyler, like my editor, would just upload videos, which is completely fine. And it's like a healthy thing to do. So my wife, I like, got a bonus. So like that I wasn't expecting. So like I have no reason to say no now. So we're going to Punta Cana next month, which is like cool. But she's all excited. There's like 15 rand. Dude, what's wild is like you book the expensive trip. Okay, but then it's like the expensive stuff that like they buy for like no reason that makes it even more expensive. I had like six Amazon packages show up to my house, and it's like luggage dividers and like weird like
what? Who even buys luggage dividers?
Dude, my wife, dude. I was like, what is that? She pulled out like a Yeti, and I'm like, she's like, so you can drink on the beach, and I'm like, dude, that was like $30. I'm like,
what? Yeah, like, dude, you know what I mean? Like, they waste the money, man. I'm gonna whisper this because my wife's in like the next. We get three boxes a day. It's from wild. Target. It's two from Amazon. Sometimes it's like a Bath and Body Works, like candle box. And I can't keep track because every single time I open my front door, there's three boxes like on the ground.
I don't look. I never really order stuff. And if I do, it's like big, like from my office or something. Sometimes I'll get stuff from like NHL teams and stuff. And like she gets all excited, so I'll let her open it. But like, yeah, other than that, I don't really order that much, I guess. I went through a big hockey card like obsession. So like
when everybody else did the past 2 years.
Yeah, dude,
the pandemic,
because there was nothing to do. Sucked into that. And because I'm like a completionist, I literally got every single series one and series two of last year's Upper Deck Young Guns. So I mean, I would love it if Lafreniere stopped being a bust so that my $300 Young Gun Lafreniere card actually went up in value.
Now, do you think it's worth it to I was thinking about this. Every year, if you just went through and completed like the Upper Deck series one and two, eventually one of those guys are gonna
you would
be
make
like a
money
crossword.
On it
you think
the
so
the problem is that like so like I'll use Connor Bedard as an example, right? His Young Gun card next year is probably gonna be like $700 before he plays a game.
Yeah,
so like Lafreniere didn't play a game yet, and I got a deal for $300,
and that card like, I remember when that card came out,
ugly.
It didn't look good. Yeah,
it's because
it was
it's
like
because
a Photoshop,
they had to like
right.
Yeah, I think they had a Photoshop. It's not a very cool. Like, now I packed Kaprizov and Stutzla in Series 2, which is sweet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like you would definitely, like, Way Up Gaming, like, Louis, who I love. He's pretty big into card collecting, too. And he traded a PS5. He bought two PS5s at launch. He traded a PS5 about 2 months after launch for a Young Gun McDavid. That was
that
a
seems
9.5.
Like a good deal. Yeah, oh, that's so an like, amazing deal.
Yeah, so it was already graded, and it's like worth like $3,000 or $4,000 now. So like, yeah, like, but like the time is like no one could get PS5, so you could have resold that for like $1,200, which is what it was going like McDavid's card was going for, and he just traded it. And now McDavid's card is like through the roof more now. Same like Matthews and stuff like that. The last 2 years though, like, there's like a bunch of very good rookies. But like in last year's, for example, like there's a chance that like none of them like. So, like, Stutzla, Bowen Byram are the big ones. Cousins, like,
yeah,
they
and they'll
like,
be, like, good players, but they're not going to be fetching, like, top dollar in 5 years.
Yeah, like, very rarely do you get those ones like McDavid. Like, those ones will be in stupid amounts, right? Some Crosby and whatnot, but, yeah, so I went through that phase, and I literally have a binder of all of Series 1 and Series 2, but I don't know if I'll do it this year, because this year there's all the backlog of, like, Americans, and, like, so, like, Trevor Zegras, for example, all those guys got added in. So, like, this year's release is going to be extremely expensive to collect. Because Zegras, because he's already performing the NHL. It's like stocks. Like, like, Lafreniere looks like a bust right now. I'm sure he's not. And Rangers fans are the loudest on social media. So
they really are, yeah, Charles Ferris.
Dude, it's wild. And, and he looks awful in terms of, like, what his output is. So his value, like, I could buy his card for, like, less than half the – or more than half the price that I paid for him. So there's obviously an investment there, but we'll have to see. Yeah. All right, let's talk about some hut.
We got a new event. Yeah, people were like, hey, listen, these actually, random – wait, what's pause. That? Look at you cutting me off again.
I went the whole intro, and I did not do it once because someone in the comments said you cut so off a lot, and I actually know that's a problem of mine. But I need to stop before we got
sometimes,
into it.
I do have to say, though, sometimes I don't mind it because you live and breathe this stuff 24/7, and sometimes I have nothing to add whenever it comes to the Daily Hut stuff. Like, there's times where I forget, like, the six MSPs that come out. I have the screen pulled up, and I'm like, okay, I got to do my ranking, you know? So sometimes it's a relief. But yeah,
it is something that I am active. I like, even when I broadcast like NHL events, like I have to actively think about it because it's something whenever I have a thought, I have like massive ADD and I have to talk about it or I'll forget. The reason why I want to stop you here is the MLB tech test came out.
Okay. All right. MLB talk.
MLB obviously is like the meme because it is like the ultimate team mode. And it is. So for anyone that is an NHL fan, if you haven't played MLB's Diamond Dynasty, even if you don't like baseball, because baseball is tough to watch. I love baseball, and it is, even if it's a Red Sox game,
it's boring.
It is tough to watch nine full innings. Now, if you're watching clips of dudes hitting tanks to deep left, that's kind of exciting. I love that. That's awesome to watch. Now, but regardless, it can be tough. But MLB's video game is simply incredible in the stuff that you can do in it. And the tech test came out, and it's wild to me. So I load into it. I'm like, dude, this looks and is almost exactly like 21. And I don't care at all because 21 is such a good game. 21, if the server issues and the freeze-offs weren't a thing, might be the best sports video game ever made. And I don't mean – franchise mode and Road to the Show are awful, so I guess in that sense it can't be the best overall game.
Yeah.
But in terms of like what you – Diamond Dynasty, it is easily the best Ultimate Team game ever made in Ultimate Team game mode. So I guess that would be a safer thing to say. Because yeah, it's franchise mode. It's comical how much they ignore outside of Diamond Dynasty.
I just like that they're kind of honest about it. They don't make any promises, right? You know,
no.
Like they're not like the Madden team that's tweeting out like this is our plan, and then they're gonna just ignore it completely.
And then they just like backtrack and go and work on NCAA. Yeah. Like, but yeah, so the tech test came out. Some cool new things added in. They added 2v2 and 3v3, where you can load in with your buddies, and it's like, if you're playing 3v3, one person controls the outfielders, one person controls the infielders, and then one person controls the pitcher and catcher. And it looks really cool and neat. However, I know that it'll be a total gimmick mode and just die completely if it doesn't have – it's in Diamond Dynasty too. If it doesn't have like a program specifically tied to it.
Oh, like rewards you mean?
Yeah, it looks like Hut Rush. Like a gimmicky, like only with stuff to do. Like, dude, the content some of these creators are doing, because you get three guys in there, you're just joking around. Like, it looked like a breath of fresh air. So it is cool that they found a way to implement putting three people into a game. However, I see no way that it doesn't cause freeze-offs and stuff, because that's still an MLB, unfortunately. They added another thing that was kind of cool from, like, a standpoint of, like, improving at the game. So you've played a little bit of MLB, right?
Dude, I bought MLB The Show like 16, maybe.
Okay, so you haven't. Okay, so
dude, and I played the, is it Road to the Show? Is that like the Beer Pro mode?
That's my favorite. That. That's all I.
And I spent, I spent real money because I wanted to jack my guy up with like, because I didn't care. I was just playing for fun. I had a guy that was like 99 every. I forget what it was. It was something
stupid. Fair enough. But so while your PCI, the thing that you control to hit the ball right in the strike zone, what they added in this year was you can lock your PCI to start at a certain spot. So let's say you can't catch up to the high fastball, right? Like high inside is like one of the things that people will struggle with. Same with like pitches low in the zone, like a changeup. You can actually set your PCI so that without moving it, it starts up and in or up and on the outside, which is awesome for improving your game. Because if you struggle getting your PCI up there, you can leave it essentially. So I thought that was kind of cool. Other than that, really nothing new. However, how they handled the beta or the tech test, let me tell you. They gave us Ultimate Team. They gave us Diamond Dynasty in the tech test, which they haven't done in NHL since like NHL 16. Then they gave us the ability to open unlimited packs in the store. Ooh. Oh, dude! Like, and then you can play all the modes, and it was just like.
Well, you're forgetting the biggest part, and you can stream it, right?
And you can stream it. Yeah, it's like, oh. And I'm not gonna harp on NHL because this is an EA thing. Clearly, EA does not want bad publicity on like an Epic level. So you have to, whenever you're creating content for MLB with a tech test, you have to state this is a technical test and it's an old build. It literally says it on all parts of the screen, which they could easily do. And they admit it. This is an old build. This is not what we're currently at. This is an old build. And everyone just understands. They're like, okay, this is the problems that we're having. And they become memes. And for the majority of them, they might be solved already.
Yeah. Right?
So I thought that was really well done. Like, it just, everything Diamond Dynasty does is just such a breath of fresh air compared to NHL. You know?
And it's to be expected. I mean, we've beaten this dead horse probably too much. And it is what it is. Because that's the only mode that MLB cares about. And Hutch just the backdrop.
Let's talk about your tweet real quick.
Oh, yeah. What was the quote?
It's like, Hockey Ultimate Team is only in existence to fund World of Chell development.
Yeah. And I think that's true. I really do. It was funny. Because we were talking today in the morning, I think. And I just said that. And I was like, oh, I'm a genius. You know, I'm a wordsmith. Because I think that's true. But, like, I don't think if Ultimate Team wasn't in the game, I don't think we would have a yearly NHL release. I might be wrong, but I don't know if we would. And even then, you would think that because they make so much money on Ultimate Team, most of those resources would go back in the Ultimate Team. It doesn't. Those resources, I think, go back in the World of Chell.
They have to.
I think they do. And people are going to tell me I'm wrong. Whatever. But...
Load into NHL 19, 20, and 21 and tell me that they have crazy ingenuity that they put into Hockey Ultimate Team, guys.
Yeah. But luckily, they have some great people, I think, that work in Ultimate Team. A lot of really good developers. You know? I don't interact too much with the other developers because it's mostly just like Ben, if it's the gameplay.
No one does.
Brandon and... Yeah. So, like, I know the Huck guys are great. I just, you know, EA Sports just doesn't want to invest in Hockey Ultimate Team.
Yeah, and it's fine. The whole guarantee.
Well, you know what it is like. So, like, when an actor, okay, let's take Tom Cruise as an example, right?
Sure.
He wants to make a passion project. He wants to make a drama. His kid has cancer or something. He goes to Paramount. He wants $200 million for it. They're not going to give it. They're like, listen, we'll give you this money. You got to go make Mission Impossible 10. All right. So that's pretty much what it's like. They're putting Ultimate Team in the game just so they could work on World of Chell.
I honestly believe that. Like, or it's funding, like, it's... Part of me thinks it's funding, like, UFC.
Like, I never thought about that, but that's a good conspiracy.
I think that like, something that is really behind the scenes that you would not... Maybe I don't think this is, like, NDA stuff, but, like...
It's not.
You would be stunned at the interchanging of the developer agency. So, like... I'll use NHL and UFC, for example. Like, they have people that work on both. And, you know, they have people that work on other projects as well. Like, if they need a graphic done, it's not like there's a EA NHL graphic designer. There's, like, an EA There's guys, I'm sure, that they go to first. But, like, if you see, like, an error sometimes on Marc-Andre Fleury as a Pittsburgh Penguin, for example... You know, like a graphical error. It's probably because they had outsourced to like a European graphic designer that usually does FIFA. That isn't like a knowledgeable. Like, if you had to ask me to draw or type up something about a soccer player, I'd have no idea.
And you would Google an image, but maybe it wouldn't be an accurate one. And then you have some hardcore fan.
Exactly.
They
probably Googled. They probably Googled Marc-Andre Fleury, and like that's why, right? And from a business, I understand that, right? Now, as a consumer, you don't, because it's like, dude, why is NHL not afford like a graphic designer? They do, but there's. A lot of those graphic designers are working on the next game. You have 8 months.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you remember. It was early 2010s whenever they were trying to bring NBA back. Mm-hmm. David Littman used to be the creative director, some kind of like producer on NHL. Yep. He was the last guy. Amazing. I think the games that he oversaw were great. And then he shifted to NBA. And then I think they also took some employees around that time from NHL to NBA. They were trying to incorporate some of that right stick thing that they patented back on NHL 07 into NBA. NBA ended up, I mean, I don't even think they make the game anymore, right?
No, it
but
ended
they,
in
and they, yeah, they share those like employees, like those assets, you know, between games. And it's not like, oh, well, you know, three people from NHR going to UFC. let's backfill those positions because there's probably a lot of training. So that doesn't happen. I don't know, because there's probably training that has to happen, et cetera, to learn that stuff. So they share too many employees.
It's a big conglomerate. Like, yeah. If you think about it, right, EA owns every sport outside of baseball and MLB now because two other developers literally knocked them out of their, like, minimalist. Like, if another company came and decided to want to make a UFC game, EA'd be in real trouble of UFC's game. And I don't know if they have specific rights and things that they own. Like Madden, like FIFA, they lost the name FIFA, right? They lost that name, but they still have all the rights to the players and teams. So people made this big stink about, you know, them losing FIFA. Is another company going to pay? No, EA did the right thing. They wanted like $2 billion to be able to name it FIFA.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a joke.
So what's the new game called?
I don't know. It'll probably be called soccer.
Football.
Football, something like that. It'll be something very basic, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there's like a conglomerate. So when they have a minimalist, you know, input, like UFC, they probably don't make a lot of money. Probably even the amount of developers required to make UFC, I would be stunned how much money they make on that. Because developer's probably going to make $100,000. You'd have to assume that, like, a software engineer that makes a video game's got to make, like, quite a bit. It's a very difficult skill, like a rare skill to have, right? So I'd be stunned at how much money UFC makes as a game. And they release, like, one every 2 or 3 years, right? So, like, NBA, like you mentioned, they move people over to try and save it, and then a new company comes in, and they're just like, nope, all of our stuff is going. It's like WWE and, like, WCW. WWE just went and bought everybody. And at some point, WCW was like, nah, okay, I can't afford it. Like, or they, you know, they just piss poor management of assets, and it's just like, that's it. So, you know what? So I think the NHL has a lot of resources, though. Like, I think that if another game company, like 2K, let's say, you got to remember, 2K's NHL game is awful. People that want to say that it's better than...
So I disagree with you. I actually played NHL 08.
In comparison?
In comparison, going back then, right? So, like, and that's whenever they were making NHL. 2K was always the game you wanted to play for offline, like, sliders.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
More in-depth franchise mode.
Yeah.
NHL with the skill stick. That's what changed, like, hockey games forever.
Yeah.
Because I remember I played 2K7 online. And then NHL 08 came out. I remember trying that game. I don't know if it came out first or something. Once I used that right stick, I was like, I can never go back.
Its gameplay was not nearly as... Like, yeah. It's, like, you know, I mean, there's a reason why 2K just stopped, because it couldn't sell, right? And, like, I don't know what would happen. I think NHL is big enough where they would be like, all right, like, so what's happening in Madden? They're moving all of, like, all of the franchise people that are working on Madden, when they made all these promises, over to NCAA, because they are... They are up against it, because if that game is not a 10 out of 10, like, dude, I don't know. Like, has there been a more anticipated sports video game than NCAA next year?
I don't think so.
I don't think
so.
It's so
big.
Been.
Have you seen, like, a lot of the bigger streamers from, like, Madden and stuff? They're doing, like, the NCAA 14 revamp.
The revamp, yeah.
Yeah.
The modded revamp version.
And like, I can incredible. Tell you the NCAA, whatever the next game is going to be called, it's not going to be as good as that revamped. It's just not.
It's tough, man. But yeah, like, that's what's happening in Madden. And I think that NHL's, like, hut money is not going directly into NHL. I think it's funding other stuff, probably.
Now, so Madden, they still have the exclusive license, though, with the NFL, right?
Madden, that's they can't do anything much... about it. No, yeah, like, it's a GG.
And I feel like the NFL is a big enough sport where, like, hockey, 2K probably just, it's, like, not worth it, right? They're not going to get into that
even
field.
If they would won.
Even if they won, it's not worth it. Football, if that was open, if that was, like, an actually open competition, 100% they'd be in there making a better football game than Madden.
I agree. And I think that, you know, like, for EA now, like, we used to talk about NBA, like, they would have to take an extreme amount of resources for EA to develop a game anywhere close to what they have in 2K. Like, the My City stuff, like, dude, it's an RPG video game. Like, it's completely overwhelming for anyone that doesn't understand basketball, like myself. I played it for a couple hours. Lost. I don't understand basketball very much. It's very bad for the new player. Mm-hmm. But there's no way that EA could ever do anything like that.
And they were the first, that was the first game to actually successfully have, like, an esports league. For sports games.
Yeah.
I don't count, like, I know Madden has had, like, the Madden Challenge and stuff, but the NBA thing was so in-depth. It was a literal league.
It's a, yeah, you're drafting six players, like, or however many players.
Like, yeah, like, organizations were represented. That was insane.
Yeah, I you know, like, it's very well done. So, you know, I think that, you know, unfortunately, the game that we have, it obviously takes a backseat in a lot of cases. And I feel like I'm becoming bacon country. in like, yeah, and the you don't negativity. Want
to. So I did see some of the. I try not to pay. I'm learning, right? I'm new to this stuff. So like, I was reading some of your comments because you post the video every week, right? And I wanted to get out some questions. And some people are like, oh, too negative or whatever. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to try to be positive. You know, I'm going to try to be positive. But I think this episode so far, we've just been talking. We haven't, it's not like we're being negative. You know?
Yeah, we're explaining.
I don't want to be Bacon Country. I have no problem with Bacon Country. But Same. It was literally old man yells at cloud, like repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of died down a little bit
for me. I think that like what Bacon Country was, he got to a point where he's big enough and you realize it's a game changer. So when you become a game changer, guys, you want to change the game. You want to have an input on everything. I've talked about this before. And then you slowly realize that, hey, I don't give EASHL input because I don't play EASHL. Now, when Hockey Ultimate Team comes up in conversation about development, you bet your biscuits, buddy. Like, I'm in that. All over it. And then you come up with ideas that you are so strong and firm behind and you don't see any traction on for years. Like, that wanes on you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, like, it weighs on you hard. So, like, I'm at that point now. I'm slowly, like, so pessimistic about the game mode. Like, I that's tough. You know what I mean? Because it's my job. I'm like, well, I love it. I love Hockey Ultimate Team. And I want to see it improve more. I released that video about all the things that I would love to see added to it. And the feedback on it was pretty wild. And, you know, that's opinion-based. But people seem to agree. It's just it's very small things, like, that I think they could change. And they just won't. So...
Yeah.
Let's talk about...
we have a new event, right?
We have a new event. Yeah, we're 30 right. minutes, 34 minutes. This is a record.
Well,
people are
still
around
this. We still talked about the game.
True.
We still talked about the game, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a new event, NHL Moments. First off, I said it before, I don't care about card art. It could literally be a turd on the picture, and I wouldn't care. Whoever designed this did a great job, wouldn't you say?
I think I've said this a bunch of times, but... This is probably one of the best card arts that we've gotten.
It's the best one by far I've
like,
ever seen.
The artistic stuff. I've said this at the beginning of the year when we saw the alpha and the beta, and like before you guys did, we obviously get an early copy of the game. We got to see what the card art looked like, and I remember going like, "This is better than any Ultimate Team mode card art because it's real like art on some of it, and then it's like graphic design with it." Mm-hmm. Like in MLB, it's just to Topps cards, which is awesome. Like, that's cool. It's like, so like Jazz Chisholm this year, there's a really cool new like Young Guns or like, you know, top end card for it. And it's actually in the game. Like, that's sick. But, you know, the graphic design portion of this is really, really nice, man. And this one specifically, the moments like in the background, the little like images like of
like
all
the monitors and stuff.
Yeah,
too.
And then it has the dates down in the corner, but it's done in that VHS. Like, well done. Like, the touches on it are incredible.
I hope that guy got a bonus, whoever did that. Probably contracted work, but it probably... I hope that guy was paid well. So we have four new MSPs, right? And we always do a ranking.
Yes.
So I will start with my number four, because we only got four MSPs. Mm-hmm. And we probably have the same one. Holtby at number four. I think that's a given, right?
Yep, not close.
Yeah. Number three, I'm going to go with Morgan Riley.
Okay. I had Zibanejad.
My number two I have is Hurdle.
I have Hurdle as number two.
Number one I have Zibanejad.
Yeah. No, I understand.
You have Morgan Riley as number one?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, none of these cards, if you are in the mindset of what card should I have that would be on your team for the rest of the year, none of these are really great in that aspect. They could all stay on your team. I think that Morgan Riley has the longest opportunity to stay on your team, but his abilities are awful, like for the meta, I guess. Like, Hurdles aren't great, and Zibanejads are not good either. So,
well, Zibanejad's interesting because he has the gold snipe, and
did a hut chance run and said that's an awful one.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's good. At some point, I have to think that these abilities are going to have their uses. I'm thinking...
Yeah, it's NHL 23 is going to be awesome.
Yeah, but like... So, it has to be good. Like, I'm still in denial, maybe, right? Because you see me try... I always try new abilities out to see, like, is this thing any good? There has to be a spot on the ice where you shoot with this thing and it goes in. I haven't seen it yet. I've used Silver Snipe with Ovechkin. I thought it was working. I was wrong. It has to be good. It's 10 points for a gold shooting ability.
I'll bust the brayer here. So like, if you look at it, right, the stats, it's like the ones that impact stats that are the meta are the ones that are stupid expensive. So like, it doesn't necessarily, it's not because, it's like skating and shooting, all of them are the most expensive. It does not matter the impact that they have on the game. All of them are among the most expensive.
Yeah.
And then defensive ones, which they didn't realize at the time, are extremely cheap because they're defensive. There's no expensive defensive one.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Because shooting and skating, that is why you have these insanely expensive shooting and skating ones. Because those are the two ones that they tried to not allow it to break the game.
Yeah.
And the only one that's viable to have that is wheels.
And, I don't think that one's that great.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. You know what I do now? You came into my stream today when I was just
You have to tell. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, I was sitting there. It was the end of my workday. My wife got home. She was on the phone, so I was like, I have 5 minutes to kill before we go for a walk. Like, so I pull up your stream, and I see some guy come down on. It was like a 3-on-3. Okay, and you had somebody. You had a forward back checking, and he decides just to freeze completely.
In overtime.
Just in overtime. I don't know what happened to the other two defensemen. Then the guy somehow got a 2-on-0 cross crease. It goes in. And then in the background, what song was playing?
I don't know, dude. It was
there was the song. Oh, no, it wasn't an NHL song. It was like a song was playing. And you just like stone cold face. No words were said for about 3 minutes. I watched you go through all the replays. You had some cross crease attempts against gold post to post where the guy just makes a split save. And I was like, that's NHL 22 in a nutshell. And then I trolled you a little bit. I was hoping you would see the comment, but I don't know if you did or not. Did you see it?
I saw you trying to bait me, and I was like, no.
I was trying to bait you because somebody's like, hey, Queso, what's going on? And I was like, just watching Sleeves lose to some shitters. And I just wanted a reaction out of you, and you didn't give it to me.
Dude, goal post to post and goalie superpowers are just a joke. I asked you this morning. Goals as a whole are down this year, and there is no way to tell me that there is not, because you can see it. If you go and look right now, guys that are listening, and you want to argue this point, go and look at your goalie save percentage. Load up NHL 21 and go look at your goalie save percentage. It is so far down, and almost all of my games in Division 1 are 1-0, 2-1, 3-2 at most. And you're in another class because you're among the best in the world, which is fine, but that is such a small portion of the player base.
The goals are still down in that game.
No, absolutely. And even for you.
Yeah, even for me, like, so my goals against hasn't gone down that much. I average a little over one goal against a game on Hut Champs weekends, but I'm only scoring like three and a half a game. So that means it's 4.5 goals a game for a video game, where it used to be like 8 to 9, which if you don't want it 8 to 9, but I would expect in the 6 goal range. And it's weird to me, though, by the way, that a complaint in real life NHL is that, you know, the game was boring, especially during the dead puck era or whatever. We should want to see goals happen, right? So why is the game tuned for a more defensive battle?
They did so many things, that I think in a vacuum were great. So, for example, they turned back on the puck intercept model. I mean, that's a great addition to the game. Like, you know, because last year was a joke, like a literal joke. Because you could literally just fire a puck through 6 guys and it would go in, right? Which I think was good. But then they also added X factors for goaltenders and literally gave them superpowers.
Yeah.
So now you have, you know, interceptions are on, but then they also made passing completely nullified by the auto-targeting system, but which is crap because you can't, it locks on to players you don't want quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And you add all three of those things together, including the stick-in physics, where if you just bump into someone, it's a clunky mess in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
Like, there's no time and space, which I think that's what frustrates me the most, is, like, there's no time and space to do anything, and the vehicle to give yourself time and space is you have to be among the most incredible in the game. And even you, you are not someone that is... You do not what you could, but you don't rely on the Deeks and L2s a lot. You are very strat-based, so you use the strategies to your advantage. I said this earlier, much like a European player, because that's what the Europeans do. They don't use crazy back and L2s and all that. They play with what the strategies have available to them, which I think is why you're succeeding so much, because that is essentially one of the only ways to really succeed in 22 is you take advantage of the very limited strategies that are in the game. But myself, I like having one or two. I loved the half spins and the ability to create offense. It's a video game. And a lot of people in the chat are, you know, I think NHL is a very older demographic when it comes to the video game. A lot of people like the sim-based way, which I understand. And I can understand why people like that. I just personally don't, and I've realized it. Yeah. Right? So I don't say that the game is crap and the gameplay's trash. I just personally don't like it at all. But I understand the people that do. You know?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that the game is bad. It's different. Like, the people that are like, oh, it's the same as, like, last year. It's not. We've been saying that all year. It's not even close. And, yeah, like, I just don't think it's as fun. It leads to a, you know, how many times, guys, that have you dominated someone? Like, 10-minute COA to 4, you have twice the shots, and that's a very bad way to look at a game because you could just be flicking up. But it's a very good representation of you being able to control the game. Yet, you can't get a shot that you want open or a play that you want open because they don't have to do anything to intercept a pass anymore. And you can't get anywhere close to an AI because of the stick in physics and the stick being a separate layer. It'll just, the way that it reacts, it'll bump the puck loose or your stick loose. And it leads to not very fun. So what ends up happening is it's 2-1 the entire game. And I just find that boring. I want to see more goals. I don't know, which sounds crazy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I want to see more goals. It's just like, there's so many things that can go wrong in achieving a goal, right? Like, offensively, you just have to do so many things right. Defensively, all you have to do is just stand there, right? It's just that there's so much responsibility. 95% of the skills on the offense, 5% on the defense, you know? And after that, even if you have an amazing chance, maybe you have like a tic-tac-toe play or something, there's still a 30 to 40% chance that goalie's going to make a miraculous save.
And then you get all
the saves that I've been seeing on Twitter.
That one. Okay, if you haven't followed me on Twitter, I think it was like Chell Scrappy or something tweeted.
Yeah,
out.
That was it. Yeah,
that was one in a million. But like, my God, bro, this Robin Leonard Master Set card makes these three saves in a row that were just absurd and just comical because it's exactly what happens in the game a lot. It's a microcosm of this game.
Yeah, exactly.
I've said this before. It's like they've done a great job of making it a very sim based game. Hockey is got to be the most difficult sport to take the real life product and turn it into a video game. There's so many moving parts that you have a stick. You know what I mean? Like, your hands are controlling an object. It's not just like you're kicking a ball or anything like that, right? It's constantly moving. And they've added superpowers on top of a very sim-based thing. So part of me just wants no goaltender to have one, but they can't because, you know, like, they've made smaller goaltenders viable, you know? And I like that.
It's just frustrating because they're viable only because of a crazy post-to-post, you know, ability. What I might try to do, I don't think the abilities have much of an impact on a lot of things.
I'm going to interrupt you here because this is what I wanted to say before. What I did with the superpowers, right? I'll tell you exactly how I use my ability points, guys, because I'm done trying to find the balance of like elite edges and 1T and all that garbage because they don't do anything. I use goal shutdown on all four of my gigantic, colossal, ogre-like defensemen because that's extremely overpowering. I have silver or gold quick draw on all of my centers, and then I take my master set Rene and I load up light work, post-to-post, tip jar, contortionist, sponge, all of it.
Good.
Because why not, dude? All of those are the ones that impact the game the most. And I think that's a major issue and I don't blame them because there's no way to add in 50 abilities and for them to all be tuned correctly without having the player base play through a cycle of the year, right? So I don't blame them for that. That's impossible to test, even with us as testers. Like, there's no way to test that, right? So I think that we'll see some adjustments in terms of, like, what abilities cost. But, like, Ankle Breaker does nothing. Even if you made it 2, you would not use the ability to make stride deeks at top speed more. Like, you just won't. Like, it just has no use as an overall thing.
Wait, is it the stride deeks that impacts?
I think. Or puck handling or deeks at high speed.
If it's the stride, it's only that one specific type of deek then.
Yeah, and it costs 8.
What?
You would never, like, how many people actually use Stride Deeks? Shout out to my man Nuge was the one that in the EA Discord was like, guys, I don't know why this is 8, and I don't even know if I would use it at 2. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, so a lot of these, so that's what I do now. And you know what? I went and looked. I'm 60-30 playing Hut Champs in Division 1 Rivals, which for me, I'm not an elite player anymore, but that's significantly below my own standards. But hey, it is what it is. So I'm 60-30. I asked you this morning, what would you expect someone who's 60-30 to have as a save percentage? You said 78. My save percentage with my Pekka Rinne is 86.
Yeah.
Which means that nothing's really going high. I'm losing 1 or 2-0. You know what I mean?
And that's like really high in a video game. Like, there were times last year, if you had like an 80 save percentage, it was a good goalie.
Wild.
Years past in HUD, it'd be like mid 70s was good.
Mm-hmm. And it's just because scoring so down. And that is what it is, right? So
we're in the dead puck era of HUT. Yeah.
We're in the dead puck era of HUT. Yeah. That's it.
Were there any MSP cards you thought were good or
like McKinnon, nothing? Man.
McKinnon's the only usable one, I think.
Yeah, and like if you don't have the X Factor McKinnon, go and get this one. I can't wait to see what we're going to talk about for X Factors next year. Like, are we just going to completely disregard them entirely at launch?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like X Factors are pointless.
Yeah, man. Like,
so let's talk about this. We only got about 12 minutes left. Let's talk about this. Pretend this is 23. All right, what do we have to do as game changers to make X Factors more impactful, longer, or even worth looking at? Because I'll be honest right now, I have like the best team that you can make in the game. I have two. I have McKinnon and I have Barzal. And there's an argument you could do McDavid because if you didn't get his team of the year. And the other one would be Hamilton because he's 6'6", I think. And there is some other ones like Stammer and Eichel because they're big and fast right now.
Yeah.
It's all going to depend. I'll say this. It's all going to depend if they go to 99. Because if they don't go to 99 and they can keep their speed at the same progression, they're not, like, it's not going to be good. But anyways, what do you think that we have to do and recommend to make X Factors more impactful?
So I think the cost to upgrade them has to decrease, right? I think they have to be more rare. You can't get three of them a month, right? Because if they were cheaper to upgrade, everybody would have a team full of X Factors, a team full of 99 players at the end of the year, right? So I think they have to be more rare and cheaper to upgrade. Next thing, you have to actually be able to use like an overall or like the card to upgrade the X Factor. So like if Crosby's an 89 and he has a 90 team of the week, you should either be able to use that card or maybe just any 90 overall player. I don't know, right? But maybe not any 90 overall player, but maybe like a Sidney Crosby 90 overall card. Because it sucks that like you could pull that 90 overall untradeable Crosby. You can't do anything with it. You're just screwed.
The tech is in the game, which is alarming to me. I remember when we saw it in the background, we were like, oh, so you're going to be able to use the... When they were explaining...
Well, we said that in the summer before the...
We thought that's what it was going to be, and they were like, no. And we're like, okay. Yeah. You literally have the use a base card. So why can't you use the 89 team of the week? Unless that requires a patch as opposed to just...
Because I don't know if that would be a patch, but it'd be like whenever that card comes out, right? They would have to go into for every single card that has like all 50 X factors. Eventually you'll have that, like they'd have to do that every single time. That's probably extra work for them that...
Figure it out. Hire more people. That's such a small thing, bro. Like, how about this? Stop releasing 12 prime times a day.
Well, that's a given.
Like, it's awful. It is a archaic old format that they have not advanced or had any sort of ingenuity on in the last decade of Hockey Ultimate Team. So if there was 5 or maybe even 4 prime times or team of the weeks, you know, that's much easier because then they
can just go. How much time do you think Brandon spends, by the way? Brandon EA Hawk. So he has to make the daily content. How much time do you think he spends going through with like those 84 overall Issa Lindell that has to come with a team of the week or like 86 overall Brian Rust? It's such a waste of resources on EA Sports' fault. Or EA Sports is, yeah, their fault.
Like, I remember asking like Nick this question last year when he was the EA Hawk. And yeah, because I was like, what does your day look like? Because low-key, guys, I almost applied to be EA Hawk this year. I almost applied to be the content developer. So, like, well, that I thought about it. Like, I asked, what does that entail? Like, what does your day look like? And, like, yeah, like, the first 4 hours of your day or a couple hours of your day. I want to say 4 hours because it might not be that long. But, like, you got to go through, like, the, you know, go and look at all of the box scores to see who had an impactful game. Go for all the leagues. You know, it takes like a couple hours. Then you find the ones that you want. Then you have to go into like the, it's not an Excel sheet, but like the
program,
the developer software, add in that card and then give it the abilities and synergies. Like, it is not a short process, especially if you're doing 12 a day. Like, it's absurd. Like, there's no creativity to it either, because you're literally going and picking, you know, there's no freedom to it. You know, it used to be rigid though. Like, you could only get a prime time if they scored 3 goals. I think it was, or two. Yeah, it was 3 goals or four.
3 points.
I think it was 3 points and 2 goals.
Okay.
Maybe something like that. And it was like defensemen if they got 2 points. So like everyone knew, and EA really, I remember Nicholas, one of his things when he became a developer was like, I want to get away from the cookie cutter, we know this is coming formula, which I appreciate because that got really boring. Like, that makes it boring. So because like Reddit was like, oh, here comes the primetime 86, you know, Brian Dumoulin because he had 2 points last night. We know he's coming. It's like, well, what if he doesn't? You know? Maybe he doesn't. So I respect that. But yeah, it takes a long time, man. Like, but yeah, like, I agree. I think that if you, I packed the Patrick Laine, that, or the 92 Laine, and like, that's cool and exciting, but like, I can't do anything with it. Now, let's say he had an X Factor, you know, that'd be that, and he went right in. Then I would think about, okay, maybe I go and buy his X Factor because I saved that huge expensive tier.
Do you think Primetime should be upgradable then?
No, I don't think Primetime's are. I think his X Factor.
I'm saying hypothetically next year, if Primetime's, like, if you got an 86 Line A, right? And then a week later he has a hat trick and you could pay 50K from his 86 to go up to 87.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is that let's say Line A had a X Factor card.
Yeah.
And he's an 88, but then he comes out with like a 91 Primetime and I packed his Primetime. I can take his Primetime and put him into the untradeable. Like, I can put
to him get him instantly up to the 91?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my thing was just like a separate thing, not even.
Yeah, I see
to
what you're
that.
Saying. No. Yeah, so I think that, like, that would help with X Factors. What I think is they need to. Okay, here's the problem with X Factors, because I'm gonna shout out to Padre because he had this exact thing. They are now trapped by having to give post a perfect example. Anyone that's under 6'5", basically goaltender, has to get post, or you don't even look at them, right? Which is a downfall, but again, it makes them useful. Okay, because before, in past years, it was like you would just completely ignore it anyways because it's not Ben Bishop. So, small defensemen, you got to give them truculence or they just won't play good defense. And like, honestly, that's the way that you make smaller defensemen useful in this game is truculence. However, does Cale Makar lay gigantic body checks? So, Padre, for example, he got a little upset because he's a competitive player and there was like a spree of like gigantic defensemen that kept getting gold shut down. And that's a pairing, that combo is extremely overpowered because Victor Hedman, his reach is so big that when you give an automatic poke check to someone's reach who's gigantic, it gives you such an advantage. It's difficult to get around. And they gave out Brent Burns and they gave him gold shutdown when he's like not known for that at all. He does have a very good defensive stick, but it's violent. It's not because he's like accurate with it. He just swings it every which way. He has like the most effective wrist shot in the league. And his ability to get his wrist shot through from the point is what made him so insane offensively. It's like not his slap shot. It's why his wrist shot is higher rated than his slap shot year over year. Because his wrist shot is so insane. Heat Seeker is the one that should go on Brent Burns. However, no one would use it. No one would be excited about a Brent Burns card that isn't fast, that doesn't have shutdown. So at the beginning of the year, when you come out and you market these X Factors, like, you can't give... you can't give Austin Matthews wheels because he's not like a burner, because you want him to remain, you know, valuable throughout the whole year. But like, I think that's like unfortunate. The reason why X Factors and a lot of them suck is because their X Factors can't change. So Forsberg's style icon, it's not a master set. It's like a headshot one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It came with gold quick draw.
Yeah.
Far better than whatever thing that is on his power-up icon. And the power-up icon thing, while they can upgrade month over month, the X-Factors can't change on them. The abilities can't change on them. Their smaller ones can, but their up-top ones can't. So, like, the only way around that would be to add in, like, how you can select synergies, allow us to select abilities. Because
Madden has that, though, with, like, you apply the abilities to the players, right? I think
at the beginning of the year, it's definitely a marketing thing. Like that trailer that showed Austin Matthews with a shock and awe. Like that makes sense as to why that is a thing, right? However, no one uses that and wants, except for players that play offline and they want a, you know, an experience that mimics the real thing. Totally understandable. So allow them to have that option. However, if you want to have quick draw as an option as well, then that would make Austin Matthews a lot more viable to use him at center in a competitive aspect and make his card a lot more viable year round.
I wouldn't mind. So if that's what it is, I wouldn't mind if instead of like you can pick one that might not suit his play style, if like all six abilities he has can be interchanged, right? So like it wouldn't make sense for Matthews to have wheels. He also doesn't have that as a superstar ability. Maybe you can just shift an ability from superstar to zone. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I see, like that would be kind of cool. Yeah,
so that
like
would not fit him more, because like the same thing happened with the Lemieux card, right? That 95 overall like flashback Lemieux came out. Way better abilities than his power up. His power up icon.
I don't have anything activated on it, and it's still one of my favorite cards.
Yeah, it's a great card, right? But he has the gold, like the toe drag one, and then he has the silver breakaway all alone,
and like third eye, and like just
the worst abilities.
Yeah, but he can upgrade. Right, so I guess we can have to trade up, but yeah, like I think that is something we're gonna have to discuss like in the future about like X Factors. I just wish X Factors weren't a thing. They're just a copy paste from Madden.
And what I hate also it. Scares whenever me, they first introduced it, I said I don't like this.
You know what also scares me? I was like, why did they take, you know, something that directly from Madden? Like, how did they do that? And what I thought about was like, cross console when it comes out is EA as a whole has not invested in that as a whole, any sports games, right? It made me a little concerned because I thought that, you know, no matter what, when cross console becomes a thing, every game will get it. It's not like Rivals, where like Rivals will end up in NHL in 4 years, like after it comes out in FIFA, right? But what scares me is that we just got the leftovers of Madden FIFA's foundational coding in Frostbite. They have Hypermotion. So if like that's not like a universal drag and drop, so you know, we'll find out next year, but like that terrifies me. I would have to assume that cross console is a thing no matter what, but we'll have to wait and see, man. Like, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about it. It's
depressing to think about. Yeah,
it's scary. But guys, it has been good talking to you guys. I'm up in an hour. Actually, I have a event I have to go record for the Sharks. So.
Hence the jersey on. Yeah. Yeah. So this is, I think, one of our shorter episodes then, right?
It's an hour.
So it's on par with like our first 15 episodes. And then we decided to do like 90 minutes. And then, So I think GWC time, we should ramp it up a little bit in terms of the episodes. And I think that'll be not in terms of episodes, in terms of length. Right.
Yeah, I agree.
There'll be more to talk about, predictions, drama in the NHL community.
We have to keep this going in the summertime. Our goal, our idea was to not include, like, after GWC, it just ends because NHL interest dies. But you guys have been so crazy with, like, the feedback and, you know, and saying that you guys love it. So I don't think there's a way that we can stop it. And I don't want to either. I just have fun doing it.
This is the one thing whenever it comes to content creation, in quotations, where it's like, I don't really mind doing this. If I record a YouTube video, I have to, like, you know, do it, whatever. This one, it's easy. It comes natural, I think,
So, yeah, we'll make sure we stick with that. But, guys, thank you for watching, and we will see you next week. Make sure you leave. We didn't get any questions today. We will get to your questions. So leave your questions down below for next week's episode on the video, and I will see you then. Have a good one.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.